My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
I am Colin, and I am excited. I am so excited. I'm beyond excited. I've watched the ending of that new episode at least maybe 23 times.
So heavy spoilers for Ahsoka Part 4.
Oh my God.
Fallen Jedi. Oh. So heavy spoilers, guys. So if you haven't seen Ahsoka Part 4, which I think you probably should have by now.
Yeah.
Because Colin and I was just talking about it. There's really no excuse for you not to have seen the episode because the episodes air 6 Pacific, 9, 8 Central.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's and the episodes are so short, too, that you should be able to watch it. And then you can watch it on your phone, too, in bed if you have to. So, yeah, spoilers for Part 4 Ahsoka. Before we get started, of course, we want to recognize all of our awesome supporters on the Purple Tier. We have Darth Ace 1, Liam McCallion, Texas Vader 76, Chris Simpson, Kev Leininger, Deb McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel. On the red tier, we have Fenrir 526, Maya Morris. On the black tier, we have Maka Tautala, Nathan Shank, and Evan O'Paker. Thank you so much for all your awesome support. I know we're early today, but yeah, we really want to do this breakdown for you guys. And Colin hasn't really spoken to anyone about this episode other than myself late last night. So yeah, we definitely want to do that. And you know, Colin's excited. I was shocked at that ending.
I cried. I was running around, and I was just like, I mean, I was hoping that that would happen, but at the same time, it's just like, it just didn't. It's so weird with this show, because for those who aren't fans of Rebels and all that stuff, it's just kind of like a show, right? But to us Star Wars fans, this is truly a gift. This is a just giant present wrapped in a bow. And this episode, honestly, was just us slowly tearing the present open. Because next week, I am telling you, is going to be huge. And we know it's going to be, because this morning, they put out a poster, and they announced that they were doing like big screenings for the mid-season premiere all across the United States, which they never done that before. They've never done a public big screening like that, and it might be because of the strike. I'm guessing just because they can't do normal press, so I think they wanted to get a bunch of fans in different stadiums just so they have something to like kind of like say, you know, hey, here's Ahsoka, we are celebrating it with the fans. That's my guess, because they have never done like a big public screening of where you go online and you sign up for it, and if they did, it was a very quiet, they were really quiet about it. But yeah, so a decent amount of us are going to that. So I'm very, very, I'm so excited, man. Like, this is a great time to be a Star Wars fan. Yeah.
There you go. For me, I wish that they did it in San Antonio, this fan event. They're not. They're doing it in Dallas. But luckily, my brother lives in Dallas.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just drive the 4 hours to his house Monday night.
Worth it.
And then work my day job Tuesday at his house. And then from there, I think we're going to go to AMC North Park 15 IMAX. So if you're listening to us, watching this from the Dallas area, you'll be able to see me there. Maybe along with some familiar faces. I don't know yet. There's other people that have been on the podcast that might actually go to this as well. So we shall see. So, and I like that start time, too. It's 1 hour early. So 7 p.m. Central time. So, yeah, I'm hyped for it. And let's get this breakdown for Part 4 underway here. So this was kind of interesting. Someone pointed out that they used different colors for the helmets.
And
the
rock
right there is blue. I kind of missed it there, but
that's they also did that last week too, David.
For Maroc being blue? I thought he was red last week.
They have changed the colors for almost every episode, because there was one episode of where they were doing the helmets and like the face reveals for this, where it was like all red, and then one episode it was like some of the villains quotation were blue. So it has changed a lot. And I
right, but specifically I'm talking about Maroc for this episode. He was blue when he's been red the whole time. But okay. Yeah, I don't think there's a rhyme or reason. And if there is, it's some like hard code to break here, because no one's been able to figure that out. So of course we get back on the T6 with Hu Yang working underneath. See Sabine there working on the console. And we're on the planet of Cetos. And they're trying to get the T6 back up and running here, get the comms going. And you see Sabine try and contact Home One, and that they are Fulcrum. And we have this interesting conversation between Sabine and Ahsoka. And the conversation basically is Ahsoka's trying to reconcile that, well, maybe the best thing, or she thinks the best thing, is to leave Ezra out there all alone to avoid Thrawn becoming heir to the Empire.
Yeah.
Which, of course, Sabine, her whole focus is reuniting with Ezra. And do you think she has like a romantic interest for Ezra, or is it more brother-sister?
Okay, so going back all the way to going back to Star Wars Rebels, there Ezra has definitely flirted with Sabine a lot, like a lot. And there were some episodes where Sabine did show compassion for him as well. Not a very like, you know, lovey-dovey compassion, but like just enough to where it looked like she was flirting too. So I don't know. I mean, just the way this episode went, it's just like, we know that she's doing it for family. And I could definitely see it being a romantic thing, but I think just because of they threw that line in like the first episode of where Ezra said in the hologram, "You are like a sister to me," I think Dave Filoni kind of wanted to steer away from like the whole love, you know, kind of romantic story, if that makes sense.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
But yeah. Yeah, no. This whole episode just felt like it was a... it definitely felt it like it was Star Wars. And there's some shows that they do where it's like, oh, like it's taking place in the Star Wars universe, but it just doesn't have that full-out Star Wars vibe. This episode had the Star Wars vibe, and there were so many callbacks, and you can definitely tell Dave Filoni worked on this project. You really can.
Is that a note of fear?
Yeah, man. But yeah, so we see Baylan Skoll and his apprentice, like, kind of, he talks about his faith a lot because of there's a line where she says that have faith, and then he's like, I lost that a long time ago. So my suspicion is we'll see him leave the Jedi Order in a flashback or something, like right before Order 66 or like something going on, or Order 66 is happening and then like he leaves, because General Ram Coda in the Force Unleashed stories sounds like he has a very similar story to him, just because of he was the Jedi with the ponytail and then Starkiller blinds him and all that stuff. He didn't have clones under his command. So that's one of the main reasons why he survived. But then he came back afterwards. And I can see how the stories are very similar. But how do you like Baylan Skoll and his apprentice so far?
They're great. They're fantastic new villainous additions of Star Wars. Man, it's just horrible that Ray Stevenson didn't live to see all the praise that he's getting universally from everyone. I mean, his acting and his dialogue, his nuance and his acting, it was just terrific in this episode. I really loved it. It's just heartbreaking that he's no longer with us, that he can really kind of enjoy being in Star Wars and being praised, I think, as much as he's getting. And he looks really cool. His fighting style is cool. I mean, just everything about him is just awesome. I don't think there's any like negativity towards his character at all.
No.
I mean, he's just awesome, man. And right here, Morgan Elsbeth says, "Is that a note of fear in her voice?"
Yeah,
of course,
voice.
Baylan Skoll says,
"Experience,
bam."
Right.
He's got that experience.
Right. So now, with that line, it's just like, what is he talking about? Could it be, you know, he was fleeing from Order 66? Did he experience like something so dark in the unknown regions that like that kind of really changed his perception and all that stuff? Like, there's so much depth to this character that I really would like to dive into.
Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of depth to the character. I thought with the title card, Fallen Jedi, I thought we're going to get flashbacks for Baylan Skoll. We didn't. Hopefully in the future we do. I'm not sure if we have enough time for that, but I mean, yeah, interesting character. Everyone loves him. And right here, mystical music playing. And part 4, Fallen Jedi. So immediately, like I just said, I thought this was all going to be about Baylan Skoll. I thought we're going to do a flashback, go back in time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now the, I also really like the planet. I like the vibe of it. I enjoy like the low fog, like it's not too foggy, like it's just kind of there. And it just seems like a fall. Like, so in Michigan, there's a lot of days in the fall that are like this. So
yeah, I love this type of weather.
Yeah, I love how they just had it in a very kind of chill.
Yeah, I love Sabine here checking her guns, checking for to make sure they're loaded. And of course she's on edge for the whole mission because she's just laser focused on recovering Ezra and getting to him, getting Ezra back to her. And you can see her armor there. She has the pergol on her pauldron there now. That has changed over time. It's so great to see her in her full Mando.
Yes.
Suit.
Yeah. It's seeing these characters jump from animation to live action is insane. And those first couple episodes where we did get Sabine, I didn't really get that Sabine. I mean, she was clearly Sabine, but at the same time, it was weird not seeing her have the Sabine look. Mm-hmm. But now that she has that like Sabine look of where her hair is cut, she's wearing the armor. It's like, all right, this is Sabine Wren. She has had a hell of a journey, and it's super, super exciting to like see that on screen. There was a lot of fighting in this episode too.
Yeah, a lot of Rock'em Sock'em robots here.
Yeah,
with Hu Yang being 25,000 years old. He knows a thing or two, so he held his own.
I wish I was here to see Hunter's reaction to the droids fighting.
Yeah, then of course, Hu Yang notifies Ahsoka and Sabine by turning off the power. Then Ahsoka immediately knows, and this is a clip that we got. Cool tag team fighting between Ahsoka, Sabine, and what are these like guys' names? Not the HK droid, but the other guys. Because we saw them in the Jedi episode in The Mandalorian as well.
Right. I will look it up.
I mean, yeah, they're essentially just easy fodder. And yeah, they dispatch him pretty quickly. Hu Yang gets back up. And with all the destruction to the T6, Hu Yang says that's going to set him back. Which sets up the episode with Hu Yang being at the ship and then Ahsoka and Sabine going on their mission. And he does say, may I make one request of you both?
Stay together. Yeah, and that's kind of where I sensed it was like something's going to happen. Because you wouldn't have a line like that if like something was going to go wrong. But the way they look at each other.
Yeah. And he got Ahsoka smiling for the first time.
Yeah.
In a long while.
So something that I kind of picked up off of the scene was like, hey, maybe they planned something ahead of time just in case if something did go wrong. So if like, you know, if Ahsoka didn't make it, then maybe Sabine would go with them potentially. I don't know. Okay, you need to back this up because you're missing a beautiful scene. Back it up. There it is. Look at that. Oh man. Yeah. Seeing Home One like that was crazy. It's so good.
Yeah, and you got to see it on a very large screen. So,
yes. Yeah.
I mean, the bigger the screen, the better, which is why I think Lucasfilm saw the onus to put Part 5 on the big screens all over the country.
So something that I'm hoping for is that next episode is going to be long. That it will be a long episode.
So the rumor is like 50 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will take that, David. I will take that.
Hopefully it's true.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed we haven't seen Admiral Akbar because this is his ship, man. So I'm like, where is he?
We have seen some Mon Cals, though.
I know, but not the OG. And if they get Tim Rose to come back as Admiral Akbar, I'd be so happy.
Yeah. There's a meeting of the general staff. And Hera is basically just breaking orders here, just leaving.
Yep.
Which, I mean, a lot of people kind of made a big deal of her asking permission from Chancellor Mothma, but I mean, you could just leave.
She was trying
to follow out of respect. Yeah, she told Mon Mothma and let her know what was going on, I think. And I think she's more of a closer friend. It's almost like if me and you were buddies, which we are, and then you became president, I could go to the Oval Office and just talk to you because you know who I am. I mean, we're friends. So it's like,
oh, okay. Kind of thing. All right. Well, I mean, we could test that one day. So I'll just start running for president now. And I officially announce every day is Max Rebo Day.
In about 9 more years, right? You'll qualify for 8 more years.
Something like that.
So yeah, that guy asked that there's a meeting of the general staff. What do I tell him? I mean, just tell him anything. I mean, come on. Just one of those things. And this was a great shot here.
Oh, this was a great shot. It like so something that I'm surprised, and I don't know if you are, but if I was a parent and I knew I was going into danger, I don't know if I would take my kid with me.
Well, on the surface, yes, that's correct. That makes all the sense of the world. But there's danger there, too, in that fleet. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen there. And do you want to leave your kid alone under someone else's supervision instead of your own when Hera knows she's a competent pilot? She can pretty much get out of anything. So
yeah, but later in this episode, I thought they were all going to die. So I was just like, oh, man. I was like, shoot. But yeah. There is a cool reveal. Keep playing it, David. There's a cool reveal, which I was kind of suspecting, but at the same time I wasn't. And it's Carson.
Yeah.
He's back, and I was hoping he would be, just because I knew there was going to be a lot of new Republic stuff. Now, something that does bother me is that Zeb is not with them. Why is Zeb not with them? That makes no sense to me at all. I know Josh talked about it yesterday on the podcast, and I'm just like, why on earth would Dave of Zeb not be on there? It really doesn't make sense to me. So
it's all about the budget.
Well,
because we're gonna see maybe 50% of the budget in the next episode, so that's why.
Well, you could have just had, of where the wings check in, and then maybe not show all their faces, and then you hear Zeb's voice in the background, and then maybe we got him in the next shot. But yeah, I really did enjoy seeing Carson. Because I do enjoy that character, and I'm glad that he's becoming like the Phil Coulson of the Star Wars universe for all these new projects. On your
signal, Phoenix Leader. Yes, he says Phoenix Leader.
Yep. Awesome. And there's Jason and Chopper.
And there's the director, Peter Ramsey, and that's a Rodian. That's not the director.
Yep,
it's a female Rodian. And who is this?
I don't know. She looks familiar.
She does look familiar. Anyone in chat can chime in there.
The
who is this X-wing pilot.
The helmet low key looks like, one of the customization ones that you can get in Squadrons. But I don't know.
Which director is this? Is this Jennifer Getzinger? Or Getza Patel?
That's what?
Because I don't think it's Steph Green.
Jennifer.
Let me look.
No, it's not her.
Yeah, it's not Getza Patel either.
Interesting. Okay.
So who is this mystery X-Wing pilot? Maybe we'll see in the credits.
Yeah.
All right. So then we see the hyperspace ring. It's actually in atmosphere, which is kind of interesting. Right above the hinge, the Night Sister hinge. And then we see Borg and Elsbeth activate the map once again. Wait. I lost that a long time ago. And bam, right there, we should have got the flashback.
Yeah. How do you feel about her, about Morgan being a Night Sister?
I don't think it's 100% clear that she's like a full-blown Night Sister.
They say, like, when she actually does something, Balin Skull's like, hey, she is using magic or something like that. So,
yeah.
Maybe she was adopted by the Night Sisters?
Yeah, I think she's like maybe a class or two below a full blown Night Sister, like we've seen in Rebels.
Yeah.
So, because people have questions about her appearance too. They're like, well, I thought she'd look a whole lot different. It's like, well, I think she's more of a humanoid, and I don't think she originated from where the Night Sisters originated, and she's more of like a follower. She's like an apprentice to them more so than anything. Because I think if she was a full-blown Night Sister, she'd be able to handle herself and never really be taken into custody at any point. She would use all that magic against Ahsoka in that fight in Mando season 2. And man, right away, they encounter Shin and Marok.
This, to me, this really paid homage to a lot of samurai movies.
Yeah, especially with the music, yeah.
Yeah. And their, like, stances and the way they were fighting. These lightsaber fights were awesome. These were really, really good.
Really, really good. And, of course, again, we don't have to talk about it or mention it, but I still want to mention it. It's two females fighting in lightsaber combat together, which we've never gotten any other time in live action except for this show, which is super cool.
Yeah, true.
And I do like her costume. I like her armor. It's like very medieval with the pauldrons and the steel. It looks like knight's armor a little bit. So who did you think Marok really was?
I was hoping it was no one, and spoiler alert, I'm glad I'm right. Because it didn't make sense for him to be Ezra. And it would be cool for him to be Kanan, but then I'm just like, then they would have had to go to the world between worlds beforehand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, my camera's acting up.
Oh, you're good. So, yeah. So I'm hoping that we get more of a story for him, like kind of in the near future of like, I mean, because of, we know what happens to him and we'll talk about it when it actually happens, but I enjoyed his character. Some people were suspecting that it was Starkiller, and I'm like, no, that's a clickbait theory right there. That would make no sense for him to be Starkiller. And if it ended up being you know, if it did end up being Starkiller, you know, it would be cooler. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, no. I enjoyed this fight. I enjoyed the banter between the characters. And I even loved how Sabine, like, held her ground. Even though she's not, you know, really, really force sensitive. And she's still learning.
Yeah, that force push with her hitting the back of that tree and her helmet popping off, that was a pretty cool stunt. Very aggressive. And just the intercut, I think, between the two lightsaber battles was done very well. And there's the image we got from marketing there. And then going back to, I mean, you would. I mean, this is pretty much the volume here, but I think the special effects they used, they did it really well because it looks still like a three-dimensional concept here for the actual footage. And I do like the countdown stuff here.
That definitely
the upload.
Yes, because that definitely made it feel like the stakes were higher than I think we all thought it was, just because of those type of missions of where, like, hey, here's a timer. If the timer gets to its point, a like big bomb goes off. And I think to us, this was like a emotional explosion, just because the fact that, you know, we are going to see Thrawn. We are going to go see Ezra, but if the antagonists here end up like getting to where they want to go, then there's going to be another war. And there's a lot at stake here. So I love I know I'm going on about a timer. But at the same time, like, that really shows you how high the stakes are in the show.
Yeah, the design is pretty cool. I really liked it. And see, when Marok went into helicopter mode here, I thought he was going to fly away.
Yeah, we say, don't you dare say that. That's not helicopter mode until he's off the ground.
Well, I mean, it's like spinning like super fast. I thought he was going to get airborne here at some point, but unfortunately, we didn't get that.
Yeah. We saw that in Obi-Wan too, but he didn't take off.
Yeah, and here's an awesome shot right here of Sabine and Shin clashing sabers. And you asked me what I thought about Baylan before. I thought he was great, like I said. But yeah, Shin is equally as good as as the apprentice, the fallen Jedi apprentice.
So something about Marak when he, you know, when he meets his demise is that there's like this green magic that comes out of him. So my suspicion is that he was a creation of the of Morgan because of her magic that she has for the Night Sisters.
Yeah, I was just assuming it was Night Sister magic that was like reanimating a corpse, possibly, because that's been done before. So it's that whole thing. I was trying to get back to it. But yeah, Marak gets sliced open. Green smoke stuff flies out. And here's the encounter that we all kind of been waiting for. Kind of reminds me of Arrival, that Denis Villeneuve film right there with all the rings. Have you seen it? And here we have Baylan just waiting there in his black robe. And he can sense Ahsoka. And then he evokes Anakin's name.
He never mentioned you.
And then she just straight up says, he never talked about you. And then Baylan takes off his robes, showing off his costume. And he's like an imposing figure here.
I'm curious on how he got info that Anakin did become Vader, because that's not really public knowledge to a decent amount of people. So I'm curious if maybe he found a hologram and he kind of put two and two together.
Yeah. So like all villains, Baylan thinks he's right. He's doing the right thing, but I think he's kind of misinformed about the whole situation. And he chose the dark path. And Ahsoka only lights one saber. So this fight was really good, like we said earlier. And if you look closely, you can see Baylan's stunt double in some of these shots. You can clearly see his face, which I was watching it in my living room on 4K, and you can see it clearly. Which is maybe one of the only things, like right there. I don't know if you saw that, but you can kind of see his face. That's a different guy.
Well, so something that a lot of people, I mean, you can kind of tell from here, but Ray Stevenson was a tall guy. To me, he really had like that Vader height. Like he was a tall dude, because I remember when he walked out on stage for the Ahsoka panel, that was like, I was like, wow, like he is tall. So I couldn't even imagine just having a lightsaber fight with him because he would be so intimidating. And then his fighting style is not just, you know, it's just not that classic Jedi, you know, style.
Yeah. 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 It's very kind of brutish and
yes,
two-handed, huge swings.
Because he's mixing the light side and dark side. So it's, which to me, that's how Anakin was so strong, because that was his fighting style.
Yep.
But he uses powers for good.
And yeah, every time we get into a situation like this, I ask myself, okay, how is the hero going to get out of what they're in when they're kind of overmatched? And this is exactly that situation. It felt like Shin was just kind of toying with her a little bit at first and really wanted to kind of like punish her, wear her out. And then Baylan starts talking about Anakin, essentially. I think before that, yeah, we see the map get knocked over. And then, of course, Sabine tries to use the Force, and then Shin says, "You have no power."
Yeah.
And then she just puts her hand down and uses her little, like, wrist rockets, like a traditional Mando. And knocks the saber out. And it still feels like, to me, Shin is kind of like half trying to keep her alive in a way.
Okay.
Or is this all just like serendipity or fortune here?
I think the big thing about Shin is, to me, she comes off very conflicted. She like, I think she really doesn't know what she even wants. Out of serving Baylan Skuld, because I think she's following him kind of blind, but then there's moments where she, like, to me it comes off as like maybe she doesn't fully agree with like of what he's, you know, trying to do, but then she's also like, hey, he's my master, I gotta back him up. So I think she's very, very conflicted.
Yeah.
All right, so Ahsoka tumbles off the cliff. Before that,
yeah, Ahsoka sees Shin, so she thinks Sabine's dead. And
something else as well is that she also grabs the map and it burns her hand.
Right.
And then later we see her in the World Between Worlds. So my guess is maybe because she had direct contact with it while it was activated, that transported her to like over there. That's my guess, and we'll definitely talk about theories in the end. But when that happened, did you think she died? Because of I was like, she's the main character of the show, so
right. Yeah, I didn't think she died. I think she maybe like force landed, maybe in the water or held onto the side of the cliff like you traditionally see in these hero type sequences. So yeah, and then we get Baylan basically convincing Sabine to essentially join him, and this kind of echoes back to The Empire Strikes Back when Vader asked Luke to join him and rule the galaxy together, and puts his hand out as well, and it's like, wow, that's kind of a mirror image in a way.
He
and
yeah,
cyclical.
So, yeah, because if he froze, like he was in mid-conversation, he like stopped. He like closed his eyes. I think he was like trying to read her mind, and then was like, "All right, listen, you."
Yeah, and he totally did. Yeah,
yeah. You really miss Ezra. I can make that happen. Come with me. Let's go, and I'll make all your dreams come true. Oh boy! Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. The whole attachment thing.
Yeah,
that's why Jedi preach no attachments. You'll be reunited with your friend.
I was surprised, but at the same time, not that she turned over the map.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was her ploy to like maybe being like, hey, if I go to the World Between Worlds and I do save Ezra, potentially I could save Ahsoka as well. So I think that's why she went and did that. I think she's hiding it well. But that's my guess, because I don't think Sabine would just go full out dark side.
Yeah, she's just doing anything she possibly can to get to Ezra. And I think she thinks if she can get to Ezra, she can make it out of there with him alive.
Including Ahsoka. I'm thinking that they would find a way to save Ahsoka too.
And then we see Phoenix Squadron show up. Jason Syndulla, Chopper, General Syndulla. And then we see the destruction of the map, which is a cool way to do it. Baylan just shoves his orange saber straight through the heart of that thing.
Cool.
And then it essentially gets cleaved in two, burns a little bit of the core. They walk off. We see the super hyperloop exiting the atmosphere of Cetos. Then we see the trajectory of how to get to Peridia. And then we see the squadron fly in towards the ring.
Bobcat spoils in attack position.
Just love the sound of the X-Wings.
I don't think they're sticking around for a fight.
And yeah. And I don't think we don't see the ship close up they're using here. It's not that shuttle Tidarian type. And then once we see them board, Morgan Elsbeth is shocked that they have a prisoner in Sabine. And she doesn't care much of her. She's not a Force user.
Yeah.
That she knows of. And Phoenix Squadron detects the power surge, and Morgan Elsbeth is just like...
Yeah, like, right, oh my gosh, man. Like, ooh.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting concept right there. I mean, they are in a big ring, so they basically pass right through them without damaging the ring.
Right.
That ring has to be massive, too.
Yeah, and that kind of gap, like, in space that's left behind, you know that ship is traveling far to, like, a different galaxy. Just because of the way that the hyperspace, like, left a mark. Like, it looked like it left a dent in space, and when a normal ship goes into hyperspace, it doesn't do that. It just kind of zooms in.
Yeah. And Jason Syndulla says the thing, I've got a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And then poor Hu Ying left all alone with a T6.
It's David Tennant. He'll be fine. I loved this transition.
Yeah.
This was such a good transition.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And I automatically knew this was World Between Worlds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no. I figured it was just be because of the transition, and you saw kind of like the kind of light reflection as like as she was getting up. I was like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And it does look a little bit different, and that's okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Hello, Snips. I was standing up at that point. I was like, there's no way that they're doing this now. I feel like her reaction was like our reaction. Like, it was so, like, look at him. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is my childhood. I was crying. I was so happy, so excited.
Hayden's back officially. And the way she says Anakin, dude, it's like, ugh. She had so much love for him. And then, of course, it kind of ends right there. And then Vader's theme plays.
Yeah. Now, there were some people that were saying that that his lightsaber was Vader's. And I'm just like, why are you not looking at the screen, like, fully? Like, because as soon as you told me that was a rumor going around, I was like, that makes no sense. If you look at it.
Yeah.
Vader's saber. Yeah. has a black piece in the middle, not a middle piece. It is the lighting because the area is dark. But if you compare the lightsabers upside down, you can clearly tell that that is the Skywalker legacy saber.
Yeah, man. Now we only have 6 more days left to wait for the next show.
Yeah.
So Anna from YouTube here says, I freaked out over this. And Zach, our awesome patron, says, hey, guys, I'm just signing on. Are either of you going to see episode 5 in the theaters next Tuesday? Yes, I think both of us are. Colin, myself, possibly Capstar.
I did just see Craig. So,
oh, yeah, Craig just got his tickets, too.
Yes, and so I think...
For serve.
Yeah, I think Josh will, too. But I'm telling you, you know that it's going to be big if they're doing that. If they're having a screening, like that's huge. I was surprised that they when they announced it that they put Anakin on there, because that is a good way to draw people in, but that's a big spoiler as well. And I know we already talked about, you know, hey, now you have enough time to watch it. I'm still surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm so excited.
And Eric Ibarra on YouTube says, I was hoping Sabine was going to die here.
No. Oh, come on. Why? It's terrible.
Shadown City Geek says, also called, he wasn't Starkiller. He was more of a throwaway, like of the big bad from Tales of the Jedi.
Yes.
Yes.
We talked about that, where it made no sense for Starkiller to come in. It absolutely made no sense just because of that character's OP in the Force Unleashed game. So to have him come in like this would be very interesting. Now, if we see, like, you know, this would be a perfect opportunity of the World Between Worlds to kind of show different timelines, different dimensions. If we saw Sam Witwer as Starkiller in an alternate timeline from Legends, that would be sick. That would be dope. That would be the way to do it. From Death, so this Anakin is in fact real Anakin before he turned... we don't know exactly what's going on here. We don't know if maybe Anakin was going through like the World Between Worlds type situation, and he ended up and maybe he was a Mortis or something, and maybe he got pulled out of the timeline, or somehow like he ended up in the World Between Worlds and he was walking through a portal and then he saw Ahsoka, kind of like how Ezra pulled Ahsoka out of the timeline. We don't know what's happening. There's also the speculation of this potentially being purgatory, of where Ahsoka is, you know, she did die, and when you die you do go to the World Between Worlds, and or this could just be a totally different thing and I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just coming up with these theories because you have to think, why is Anakin here?
Yeah, I kind of like the notion of this is Anakin before a lot of events happened in Revenge of the Sith, and he's totally unaware of what happens to him at the end of that film. And he had the power to go in the World Between Worlds and figured that you'd have to be a really powerful Jedi in order to get there. And then his line to Ahsoka, I'm surprised to see you here so soon. I think that to me maybe suggests that he didn't think Ahsoka was powerful enough yet to achieve the ability to get to the World Between Worlds.
Okay.
So I think that I like that idea. And Ahsoka knows Anakin's destiny, so she might be able to tell him that information, and maybe Anakin will see his reaction to that information and maybe see some of that in the portals, maybe when they take like a long walk around there.
So, so they did that during the arc for the Mortis arc in the Clone Wars, and Anakin learned of his, you know, of his future, and then he was kind of go back with the sun to Coruscant.
But his memory got wiped.
Right.
Yeah.
So if they do that again, I think that would kind of be reusing content that doesn't need to be reused. I would rather have them do something different. I know Dave Filoni will make sense of all of this. I know he will, because it's Dave Filoni. And now it kind of goes back to us watching the, you know, of the trailers for The Last Jedi and people coming up with their theories. And then you go and watch the movie and you're like, that is not what I was expecting at all. So there's a lot to process. Disinferno says, my theory why Anakin is in the World Between Worlds is because Anakin said, I wasn't expecting to see you soon. That's because Ahsoka left Anakin and he somehow came in the World Between. So that's an interesting theory, but we know that when he left her in season 7, he was on his way to Coruscant, to the Battle of Coruscant. So it logically wouldn't make sense for him just to be on a ship that would take an hour from where they were all the way to Coruscant to do that. But that is an interesting theory. Thank you so much, Anna. I hope you're doing well. But yeah, so there's a lot to process. I'm very, very excited to see where it goes. I know the world is excited to see where this goes. This has been a long time coming, so this is super exciting stuff.
Yeah, in next episode, it's going to be one of the biggest events in Star Wars history up to this date. I think maybe, aside from the Mandalorian premiere and the premiere of season 2 of The Mandalorian, and maybe the start of Obi-Wan, the series, or maybe the finale of Obi-Wan, this is the next biggest thing that we have. And it's going to be in theaters on the big screen. And so many people are going to get to experience this. And hopefully I make it into that theater, because it is first come, first serve. So I'm going to have to get in that line super early. I hope it's not insane in Dallas, because Dallas is about 4 hours north of me. So I'm going to have to drive over there. And
did it sell out?
It's overbooked. So they're giving out more tickets than are allowed.
Yikes.
And I recently had an experience where I went to go see The Flash that way. And they told me, no, I can't go in the theater. I was like two people, or maybe one person, of getting a seat. I told them, hey, look, I drove a long way. I mean, is there any way possible? And they're like, well, you just go in there and stand. So I stood and watched the movie.
There you go.
I still got to see the movie, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
So, hopefully I get in at a decent time. I'm going to try and leave. Man, I might get in line at noon. I don't know, man. I know time's going to go by fast. You don't know this yet, Colin, but I'm twice your age, so time goes twice
really?
As fast.
I don't know that. Okay.
You didn't let me finish my sentence. Time goes twice as fast for me compared to you. So me getting in line at noon, it's going to feel like 2 hours waiting, you know? And then I'll probably be on my phone. There'll probably be other fans there. It'll probably be like very celebration-esque in line. Yeah. So it should be pretty cool.
Oh, no. We have time to do a bunch of live streams. Oh, no.
I'll maybe try and live stream from the theater and see what happens.
Yeah. So there is, oh my gosh, there is so much. Yeah. So much to look forward to. This is insane. This is a great time to be a Star Wars fan. What a time to be alive. I'm telling you, as soon as I watched it on my way back, I called David and I was trying to hold back my tears just because of this character means so much to me. And I was at Dragon Con this past weekend and I was dressed up as Anakin, and our friends were Star was Ahsoka, Hunter was Rex, Christian was Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then Cap also did Captain Rex. So it's just this whole experience was just phenomenal. And then coming home, and then you're like, oh hey, guess what, it's Anakin, he's back. And that's just a childhood dream come true. So I'm so happy.
So the picture here on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, name the people from left to right there.
Okay, so left to right, you've got Star, and then you got Cap, you've got our friend Connor, got Christian as Obi-Wan, you've got Hunter as the phase 2 Rex, you've got me as Anakin, and then you've got Hunter's awesome girlfriend Hannah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were working the crap out of getting her costume done for this, and it turned out great. She looks great. But yeah, cool. Yeah. So we had a bunch of photo shoots. We had a great time. We like that whole, like, I love Dragon Con. And then these are the guys from the Dad Batch. They're awesome guys. Super, super nice. I was going around and I had like a Max Rebo poster, and I just kept taking pictures with people, which, fun fact, that's actually a poster that we had at our wedding. That we hung up, and we had a bunch left. So I was like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna take this with me to Dragon Con, and it was a hit. It was super funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's pretty much the episode.
There you go.
Thanks for everyone in chat commenting. That's always welcome. And it's just the wait, the patient wait for episode part 5.
I'm so sorry, guys.
So if you want to find us, if you don't know by now, you can also find us on YouTube. Like and subscribe, of course. Like this video, Instagram, Star Wars Stuff Podcast. X, Twitter, and Stuff Pod. You can find us on Threads, Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Support us on Patreon, of course, at Star Wars Stuff Podcast 2187. We're also on TikTok. You can email the show at StarWarsStuffPodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We have a Star Wars Stuff group, Star Wars Stuff Podcast page. We also would like for you to rate us on Apple and Spotify 5 stars. And also you can write a review on Apple Podcasts. And we also have a website, StarWarsStuffPodcast.com. So check it all out, guys. And for Colin, my name's David. I'm sorry my camera maybe died. I don't know. I switched to my MacBook camera halfway during the shoot. So, yeah, it's never done that before.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir? All right. That is it. And see you Sunday.
And may the force be with you. Always.
This is the way.